It's May 23rd, 2017. It's 6:29 p.m. and I am heading back to Coachella Valley from a hike up in the San Gabriel Mountains. Past Wrightwood up about 8,000 feet. It was really good because it was supposed to get to 110 in Coachella Valley, but I had 65 to 70 degrees where I was, and just awesome. Apart from all the spraying, but here's what I'm going to say. This is a political event. For the first time in a month, 6 weeks, I flipped on NPR, National Public Radio, which is a deep state, Democratic-controlled, progressive mouthpiece for corporate interests and globalist interests in particular. And and what do I hear them talking about? Oh, now there's evidence of, or there might be evidence of discussions between people that worked on the Trump campaign and some Russian diplomats. You know, it's like an anonymous source. Maybe it happened. And here's what I'm going to say. There's evidence of our being sprayed to death by aluminum dioxide and barium and strontium and polymers with bacteria stuck in them. All this stuff is going on every day with probably a fleet of, it appears, at least 500 tanker jets that crisscross the skies of the U.S. every fucking day. You know, why isn't NPR covering that? Why isn't NPR covering the explosion in autism and Alzheimer's and what it's linked to? Oh, I forgot, the Alzheimer's Association has, you know, a major, like, CEO of, you know, the aluminum industry on its board, and, you know, no longer funds or considers aluminum a contributor to the onset of Alzheimer's. Even though everyone knows that it's a big contributor, but it's, you know, we have fluoride in the water, which, burns holes, you know, causes holes in the brain, just like Prozac, the, you know, which has the active ingredient of Prozac is fluoride, and that causes holes to develop in the brain. And, this chemical was used by the Nazis and apparently the Russians before them, you know, people in concentration camps. Keeping them docile, you drug them up with fluoride. And it's not even a clean fluoride. The fluoride that we use in our municipal water is a byproduct of, what is it now, gypsum production? Aluminum production? I don't know what it is, but it's got all these other heavy metals in it that we shouldn't be in. And so as to why it's all being dumped in our water supply, it's a criminal act. And here I live in California. You know, so why isn't it National Public Radio covering that? You know, when evidence is coming out that it was Seth Rich, a guy that worked for the Democratic National Committee, who was a supporter of Bernie Sanders, who was murdered just days before WikiLeaks released a bunch of emails, of Hillary Clinton's that were highly incriminating. And whatever her name is, that Wasserman Schultz, whatever her name was, the head of the DNC. She had to step down. Hillary took a lot of flack, but not much. I mean, not nearly enough. But apparently Seth Rich was alive when the police found him. There was a CCTV, whatever it is, camera, you know, close. You know, when those street cameras that were trained on that area, the body cam, you know, that hasn't been released. The body cam footage from the two cops who were wearing it has not been released. And, you know, it stinks to high heaven. This guy was, and then we have an email from, you know, the head of Hillary's campaign, John Podesta, saying that, you know what, whoever did the leak, this is days before Seth Rich was murdered. You know, we need to send a message, set an example with how we handle this leaker. And so why isn't the mainstream media covering that? And how, you know, there's been so much blockage of real information coming out, because, you know, all along the DNC and the deep state folks, they've been saying, oh, it was the Russians who hacked the DNC servers and released that information and affected the outcome of the election. Meanwhile, they're not at all apologizing for the content of how they just fucked over Bernie Sanders, took his money, you know, didn't count a lot of his votes. Whatever they did, they fucked him over, and no one's apologizing for that. You know, oh no, it's all about, well, how did that information get out there? You know, that this was a private information of Hillary Clinton's and her crony insiders that the public had a right to know. So, you know, whether it was the Russians or it was Seth Rich or whoever, they were doing, you know, they were heroic work. You know, I want lying, I want deceit, lying, corruption, I want that to be revealed wherever it is. You know, we need transparency, period. So why isn't NPR covering that? And I have someone, I forget who I was listening to, but it might be the case that, you know, this rising Zionist star, Jared Kushner, who's the husband of Ivanka Trump, he might have met with a Russian diplomat or Russian somebody in the course of the campaign without telling Donald Trump. And that's just, if that's the case, Donald didn't know it, then you know, Donald should just be sack the guy. You know, don't let family running, you know, get in the way of doing, you know, running the country. You know, it's not a little personal fiefdom he's got. He's supposed to be running the best government on the planet. And here I am in California. I'll just say, you know, two more things that are just pale. Two more things that are, you know, 100 times more important than this, you know, so-called, you know, supposed Russian collusion. Oh, before I get to that, I'll just say there was massive evidence that the State Department and Homeland Security breached 15 different states' voting systems. You know, who's trying to tamper? And they said, oh, when they were caught, they said, oh, we were just testing the security or the integrity of your voting protocols. Meanwhile, they're probably flipping, you know, millions of votes for Hillary. And they didn't have the permission of the states to be trying to break into their systems. So, you know, they should be covering that. You know, that's, you know, that kind of, you know, what I mean is that the animal, the beast, is here in the U.S. It's not abroad. You know, Russia has, to its credit, banned GMO. It promotes organic farming. It's trying to support heterosexual couples having children. My God, you know, here in this country, it's like, you know, if you're married, I mean, you're like, you're like a leper. You know, if you have kids, if you're normal, you know, that's not who we want. We want sexual deviance. We want people who want something for nothing. You know, that's why we have 100 million people on welfare. That's part of it. Part of the reason why. You know, the other is that we just don't have the jobs. We shipped them all abroad, and corporations have just, you know, pocketed the difference in the labor. You know, they passed on some savings to us, but I think the lion's share has been kept by them. So we have just all these slackers, but yeah, so here in California, we've got the 5G rollout. They want to be, the corporations is trying to influence our Senate. I mean, it's going on right now. They this week they may make a decision. I've called three different senators, and I'm trying to get a letter together, but I've just been busy doing other things, and I'm actually doing a tweak of my letter to whatever, you know, the FCC chairman Wheeler, which did no good. I mean, they, you know, trying to say, hey, hold off on 5G, but 5G is going to require, let's say, you know, 20 times denser antenna setup than we have now. They have to be, I don't know what the spacing is, every 200 feet. I mean, God knows what it is, you know, and powerful, probably, you know, 10 or 20 gigahertz, and it's for immersive, zero lag time internet, and the control of, you know, autonomous vehicles, so that they, you know, but they want to, with the bill just wants there to be, you know, they want to be able to say that communities, people, the human beings that inhabit the state should have no say on where these antennas go. Yeah, I can see, you know, if they want 1,000, you know, 5,000 antennas to go up in this particular city, and they're going to have, you know, 40 legal battles on it, and it's going to be a big drain on their resources. They want to take the people out of the equation, even though a lot of evidence has there's a lot of evidence that the 5G is just bad news. And for my part, there was a temporary trial run of 5G that went from the first week of April to, I don't know, about the first week of May, or the last week of April, something like that, about a month. And it was the fucking worst EMF symptoms I've ever had. Because I live about a half a mile from one tower, and I approved my mother purchasing this house at the time, because that tower was, not that it was imperceptible, it was near, it was very weak. And all things considered, I thought I could deal with it, especially if I was only going to be at that house for 2 years or something. I'll just put up with it. But man, that tower and a whole bunch of others, I mean, there's a whole network of them, that they just all caught fire. It was just brutal to especially my thyroid. But it was my brain, but it's, my thyroid got ass raped big time. I mean, I've never had such thyroid pain. I never have. And I was just thinking, you know what? This fucking frequency, or the modulations, or the carrier waves, or what the hell is going on with this thing? Because apparently, you know, the whole thing with digital is you can have a whole bunch of other things embedded in the wave. You know, just the digital allows you to I guess to do a whole lot more, but I thought it was attuned to, where the frequency was set for actually specific damage. I mean, it was almost like you couldn't have chosen a more targeted and brutal and effective frequency for wholesale damage of the endocrine system. I pain elsewhere, but I'm just like, hey, if you want to give everyone thyroid cancer or whatever, you know, or thyroid disability, thyroid issues, then this is it. Blanket the community with this and you will fuck them over. So when I'm, getting back to NPR, it's like, why isn't NPR giving this much coverage? Where they're worried about, this goes on and on and on about, this alleged Russian collusion when there's so much information regarding corruption at the DNC, corruption in Homeland Security, corruption in the State Department, and all these other nefarious U.S. government actors who are committing treason every day. They are acting against the interests of the U.S. people. Every fucking day. And so, this 5G, which I hear is going to be, using again like 16 to 20 gigahertz frequencies. Very powerful. I mean, it's a very powerful wave, but I think the field strength is going to be just gnarly. So I want to see NPR cover that. I would say that's a much bigger threat than this, just boring, disgusting, obsessive coverage of a non-issue. That's what NPR does. It covers non-issues all day, all night, all week long, because it serves an agenda. And then the other thing that's probably right up there with 5G is the fact that now in the state of California, Jerry Brown, our governor, I believe he said something like it was a lousy bill, but he signed it anyway. No one can exempt themselves from all these vaccines. Even if you're homeschooled, got to get it. All of them. And there's like 60 of them now that you have to get by the time you're, 10 or 15. And, when I was a kid, we're talking the 60s, 70s. I don't know how many I had, but I think it was probably 5 or 10. Probably 1/5 of what they get hit with now. And probably they were cleaner, actually helpful in some regards. But people should be able to opt out of the vaccines, And this whole notion of herd immunity. No. Lots of people who've gotten the vaccines have. Typically, the people who get the people who come down ill are the ones who got the vaccine, because the vaccines have live, though supposedly weakened, strains of the virus. And they always get sick. And if you just think logically, hey, I'm getting the vaccine so I won't get the real thing. Well, why should my being a carrier, if you've got the vaccine, then you're safe. Then don't worry about me. But it's actually it's a civil right, it's a human right to control what goes into your body. And as I look out at all the fucking particulate matter, it is all over the place. This uniform white haze. And it's, I'm breathing it. Just like You know, just like we get the fluoride in our water, just like we get the genetically modified foods, whether we want them or not. And so, you know, I have a right, or just as EMF, you know, I should be safe in my house. This energy, you know, the government or a corporation has no right to be penetrating my living quarters with this alien digital transmission that is very, very harmful, that is destructive of our, of all the bonds in the body, the DNA, the molecular, you know, the water structure, all of it. It fucks with it all, you know, and it just, it messes with your, you know, your hormone production and all these things. And so all of those are violations of my human rights. And yet, you know, my government paid for radio show is harping on a non-fucking issue. You know, it's not relevant. Donald Trump's doing the best he can. He's done a lot of good things. And he's under constant attack by, you know, oh, there's so much to say there. I mean, I'm in high EMF areas here, and I'm overheating, and I should stop. But I've seen some phenomenal political coverage of how thousands of political appointees under Obama were converted to permanent civil service employees that stay, regardless of who's in administration. I mean, there was an Obama takeover of the very levers, gears of government. And then, like most recently, I think even this week, like about 1,000 of Trump's political appointees, they're under like Schedule C, I forget the nomenclature. But basically, they had like 120 days to pass their security clearances. But there's a political litmus test. You know, if you're a supporter of Trump, you're not getting the background check. Either it's not even started or it's not approved. And yet, and if you're a never Trumper, someone who hates Trump, you know, regardless of whether you're Republican or Democrat, I mean, you could be, there's quite a few Republicans who hate Trump. These are all globalists, people who want the end of America as we have known it, and to have this one world government, you know, where we're run by these bureaucrats that you know, want to weed out the you know, the intelligent among us, the courageous among us, get rid of them. You know, they were a threat to their monopoly of control and intellectual, you know, means, etc. But yeah, Trump is having a really hard time. He just was not. He didn't have the background you need to really understand how this system works and how his vision can be so horribly undermined. And there are so many traitors that are right there in his cabinet, there in his administration, and until he really cleans house. And you know, it's not going to get much better. He's not going to achieve what he had hoped to achieve, which I supported. You know, I want a strong border. I want to have more jobs, real jobs for Americans. I want fewer people on welfare. I want to be taking in less unvetted people from countries that are hostile to U.S. United States values. You know, I don't need a bunch of Muslim fanatics here who want Sharia law and don't believe in women's rights or secular government, or any of that stuff, you know. And we're bringing in tens of thousands of these people, and they're savages. To make a long story short, they're just. And read up on there's a YouTube commentator. His name is Black Pigeon Speaks, and man, that guy is so smart, so smart, and has commentary on such a broad range of extremely important subjects, whether it's homosexual marriage, you know, or he has a really good piece that's looking at the difference in the gay pride parades in San Francisco versus Tokyo, and how, I don't get off on another tangent, but basically, in the U.S. here, we're lost in so many ways, just decadent beyond belief, and Black Pigeon Speaks is just amazing. Please look them up and contribute, and, you know, contribute to his coffers, because YouTube is demonetized. Anyone critical of the globalist agenda, it's impossible to make any money on YouTube now for people who are speaking truth to power. YouTube is just a tool of, I don't know, the Zionists, the Rothschilds, the bankers, the reptiles. I mean, who knows? But just bad, you know, bad mojo, bad stuff. I'm not listening to NPR again for a long, long time. I hope Trump takes defunds National Public Radio. The government should not be producing media. I just, you know, when I was younger, 30 years ago, yeah, it's probably okay, you know, why not? Let's do this. But as Alex Jones has said, and I've said it before, the government has it has an interest in centralizing power, and you know, wherever the money goes, you know, wherever government sends money, there are like a million strings attached to it, and it's just, there's no way that you can have a government-funded anything without some enormous, awful political agenda attending it. And because that's just how government works. It just grows like a cancer, and it compels everyone through forcible taxation at the point of a gun to provide whatever. You know, we need to delegate as little as possible to the government. The rest needs to be private sector. I don't support even public education. It's just become way too politicized, and I just don't like the agenda that it serves. Right now it's embracing wireless technology and computer-driven instruction, and it's demeaning to the human being, it's demeaning to the teacher, to the relationship between the teacher and the student, and no, I don't want more of that, and let's let municipalities figure it out, you know. County by county, city by city, state by state, you know, and give a wide berth to people who want to homeschool. You know, let them do it. You know. So yeah, defund NPR, please. You know, government has no business creating news. Your government should not be in the business of psychological warfare as it is right now. And I think the Army, U.S. Army, says they have a bigger budget for psychological warfare than actual real kinetic action of, like, troops and bombs and bullets and guns. You know, they spend more money on controlling the minds of the masses, because that's, I guess, how war is won these days. I think that's it. Stop listening to NPR and listen to read information that is, what do you call it? You know, it's, if NPR has been shown to lie so much, a lot of these things, you just, if they've lied like the 100th time, you know, I mean, stop supporting them. Don't read them. Don't participate in it. And, you know, let it die. And so that's just, hey, I'm not doing that anymore. And the only thing to be really consistent, though, is I do need to break, to stop using Google as my search engine. It's about, and then what I'm doing is I'm, right now, because of the demonetization of these news sources, or of these amazing channels on YouTube, right now we're in a period of time where people are, we're struggling to find ways to keep the lights on and keep food on the table for those voices that are challenging the status quo in a very good way. Because, YouTube makes it very profitable for, and it's definitely double standards, they apply. One set of standards to truth media, and then another set of standards to the corporate media. They're just total hypocrites. But the corporate media can make all the money they want on YouTube, and I'm just not going to watch it. I'm not going to support it. Not going to do it. But I'm there's something called Patreon. Which is all it is like a portal for different people, I guess, artists, people have got websites, and especially then people, personalities, and ventures on YouTube that are nonprofit. They're doing it as a public service, producing information, sharing information that you won't hear in the corporate media, and the globalist media. And so, and now they can't, these people, these voices can't, they can't make any money on YouTube anymore. And so we're still using them for bandwidth, for streaming, but even that's being, we're looking at other sources, other what do you call it, platforms to share the videos. There's other, there's Minds.com, I think Steemit, VidMe, a bunch of others where the community of truth-seeking individuals were adjusting, because really YouTube had a monopolistic control, but they had been pretty open and fair up until now. But everything is being messed with, trending, monetization, all of it is all tainted now. But I'm supporting right now maybe 20 YouTube content creators at maybe $5 a pop. And it's like a tithe. If you do the math, it's like $1,200 a year. And Patreon is just a window, a vehicle to connect content creators with supporters, where I can become a patron of them. And I think Patreon might take a 5% cut, something like that. So please go to Patreon and support these the people, the voices that you do like. And at my website, under political links, I have to update it, but I have a list of the YouTube content creators that I have found most moving and on target. That's it for now. Over and out.